are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the precious metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob. And together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. And each week our goal is to provide you a technical analysis of the metals charts, but also cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that help move and predict the markets so that you get a basic understanding of what has transpired and what possibly or probably will. So, Miles, let's jump into it. And for those of you listening, please know that you can follow this on McIlvaney.com/radio, and you will be able to see the images that we put up for the discussion. Take it away, Miles.
Yeah, appreciate it, Tori. And just a reminder, we do record on Wednesdays here, so we are looking midweek to midweek when we look at the charts. This particular Wednesday, you guys pulled me away from the England-Argentina game. I'm not too happy about that, missing the last 20 minutes of that game. So we're here for you guys. We're here for you guys to bring you these charts come rain or shine or cheering for your favorite team because your team got knocked out a couple weeks ago. So we will start with gold. Gold has been up and down over the last week, up about 2%, down about 2%, and ends up the week just pretty much as flat as you can be. It is down about $8 since the middle of last week. So not too much to write home about on gold, and even less so on silver. Now, silver, as usual, does a little bit more than gold does. It was up 4%. It was down about 3%, but it's finishing its week down about 8 cents. So that's about as flat as you can get there for both gold and silver, sitting in the same trading range that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So we'll look at that a little bit closer here in a minute. Now, the story changes when you look at some of the other white metals, with platinum up 6% on the week. I wasn't expecting that when I was flipping through my charts half an hour ago. Platinum up 6% to $1,670. This is giving us the highest price in about a month for platinum. And we are right at a breakout point, a potential breakout point, just above, well, would be just above 1700. So I'll be keeping an eye on platinum here over the next week, see if we can get a little push up, and we may have a story to tell next week. So we'll see how that plays out. Not to be outdone, platinum sister metal palladium up 8.5% over the last week. It is back up over 1300, 1302, when I was putting my charts together earlier this afternoon. Now, palladium did break its little short-term interim high set back in June, and this could get interesting for the other white metals. Gold and silver acting more as an alternative monetary hedge, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, but platinum and palladium acting more as industrial metals and seeing a little bit of growth there in both. So across to the paper markets, the S&P is up about 1% over the last week, currently 7,572. Now, that's not an all-time high. We still have the all-time high from the beginning of June. We failed to get back to it in the middle of June, and that's right where we're at now. So we're knocking on the door of trying again. If we fail to push higher on the S&P, that could be problematic over the next couple of weeks. So platinum, palladium, and the S&P are kind of going to be the three things that I'm focusing on from a charting perspective over the next couple of weeks to see how that plays out. Although knowing how the S&P works, I wouldn't be surprised to see if we see a gap open to the upside in the next couple of days because, you know, if I were the plunge protection team, I don't think I could let the S&P take a tumble right now, and this would be a good place to inject a little bit of capital, either from the Fed Reserve or the plunge protection or something, just to keep the S&P pushing harder. And as usual, all of this falls on the shoulders of the U.S. dollar, which is down about 0.5%. So it did break a short-term floor on a pretty strong dive here, I believe yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. A little hard dive down. We did break our little short-term floor It's still sitting over 100. It's 100.5. So pretty good kick in the shins for the US dollar. Some comparable reaction in the short term in the equities market and the precious metals, especially the industrial precious metals. So fellas, what are we seeing in the markets right now with gold being so quiet? What's being loud?
Well, Miles, to your point, I want to touch base on just the Federal Reserve. I mean, they've added $200 billion to their balance sheet since the end of the year. And you wonder where some of the stimulus is coming and the money supply. Obviously, there's been some injection, but they're starting to buy assets. It's supposedly more effective now even than rate cuts. So The market is responding to the lack of a rate cut. And yet, it's enjoying. I mean, Rob, you said the stocks are at all-time highs here, the S&P.
Yep.
Like Miles, you're saying it's going to gap up. You think it's going to go even further.
Yeah.
I just think we're right at that break point where if we were to put a double top in here, it'd be a double top at a level that's below the previous high. And what that would show is some weakness or some pushing the other direction. Now, if they can come on a market open and push that price above that, you'll have some breakout trading algorithms that'll buy up shares and continue the process going forward to the upside. Yeah, it seems to be clockwork. When you beat your head against a wall, you just call Big Brother Fed Reserve and they come in with the sledgehammer and just break the wall down for you. So we'll see if that plays out. That would be tomorrow, you know, by the time the market opens tomorrow on Thursday. So before this show even airs, I'm going to know the answer to my statement. But I wouldn't be surprised to see it. We see it all the time.
Well, we kind of predicted that the metals might rally a little bit on better than expected inflation news too this week. You know, we were in our staff meeting Tuesday and David McIlvaney said when that CPI report came out, you're going to get a little bit of a euphoric pop, certainly in gold, because it's all about the Federal Reserve rate cuts. You know, it's just a weird thing. But off air, we were talking about this amazing mirror image of what the gold price has done versus, you know, we've talked for the last 3 months about the treasury yields being a headwind for gold and the dollar index being a headwind for gold as it's climbed. And sure enough, I mean, look at this chart from yesterday when the CPI is reported and you want to try to predict the price of gold. Well, predict the direction of the dollar index and the bond yields, and you'll have a pretty good idea if gold's going to go up or down.
It looks like one of those Rorschach paintings, those ink blot Rorschachs where they just smush the paper together and you get the same thing on both sides. It's pretty amazing, the mirror image between the 10-year bond yield and just the spot price of gold.
Well, the main definition is the cost of the carpet is inversely related to whether the bread falls jelly side down.
I love it. I love it. Well, what's not in this image, which you could probably pull in if it would scale right, but the oil price, like let's assume that the oil price is going to represent inflation concerns. And
I think
the oil price, it does. And it, because it represents inflation concerns, it represents odds of a rate hike, which is strong dollar policy, which means the dollar would strengthen, gold would go down. Well, this CPI was good news, and so was the core CPI, which was essentially unchanged. I really thought that was going to go up a little bit, and it didn't. But all that being said, it takes some pressure off the Fed. Now, the next FOMC meeting's not until the end of this month, the 28th and 29th, I think. So in 2 weeks, we'll be doing a show that will talk about, hey, is the Fed looking to essentially hike rates? Did they hike rates?
Well, they're talking very hawkishly right now.
They are. But the odds are still 50-50.
Yeah.
You can't put all of your eggs in one basket being the CPI. You're going to have PPI coming out as well. And then you're just going to have to see what happens with the conflict, because the higher oil climbs, it's the great force multiplier in inflation. And that's why gold has continued to decline as oil has spiked.
You have the Persian Gulf countries in a hurry to run pipelines away from the Strait of Hormuz over towards the Red Sea. And they're scrambling to get that done. So Hormuz could be taken off the table before too much longer.
Yeah, that would help. If oil's flowing, then those concerns decline. And now you do have essentially a disinflation, which is good. The white metals especially like that, okay? Now, if you can get GDP expansion, that's good. Now, the Federal Reserve is talking in front of Congress, and they have a lot to say. You know, they've got this semi-annual monetary policy report they have to give to Congress, and some of it is encouraging and some of it is like, well, why are you even focused on that? But they're going to have this task force. They say the most striking feature of the economy right now is business investment, mostly in data centers. But you keep seeing news where the data centers now are being come against by some states, or people are walking back these data centers. And so you can't count on a healthy economy just because of data centers. But anyway, they're going to have these task forces with the Federal Reserve looking at how they review the balance sheet policies, which we just talked about, the form and function of Fed communications and how they convey their policy choices. That's going to be big. The third one's going to evaluate new data sources and consider changes to improve the information they work on. That's great because we need the Federal Reserve working on accurate data. Warsh came out and said he doesn't even think that the existing published measures of inflation that remove price outliers are really a reliable price pressure measure or metric.
Well, he's right about that.
Totally.
We've known that for years.
Yeah. The Fed. The
pot, meat, kettle.
Yeah. That's why we've called it the CP lie, too, you know.
I'll tell you what's not lying, though, is the expenditure coming from Uncle Sam. They are spending money. So we'll see if all the DOGE initiatives have been put into place or not. But, you know, government outlay is growing.
It totally is. We'll see if the end of the fiscal year is September 30th for the government. And I'll bet we're at $40 trillion by then.
I bet we are.
And now it's $1.38 trillion is the debt service. Those are our payments, our annual payments on the debt. $1.38 trillion now. And that number's really climbing fast. Hitting $40 trillion, it's no good. And you got an election year, so they're buying as many votes as they can. Both parties are just spend to buy. And I don't see that slowing down.
No, and I don't see gold really getting hammered too badly. It does look like we're moving back into a consolidation phase like we saw 3-4 years ago. I don't know how long the consolidation is going to last because they are increasing money supply. They are adding to the Fed's balance sheet. They are spending money. So I think that coming through the middle of July, I expect gold to be skipping along a fairly consistent channel before we start moving again into a growth phase for the price. That's my opinion. I don't want to guess the markets because they can make a fool out of everybody.
Well, they can. And remember, these are short-term cycles.
Yes.
Rob, you're sitting there telling me, like, focus on the long-term.
Yeah.
You've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
Miles and I for two each, but you're double that. And you know that everything you just said is why you buy gold. And it's why you buy gold on the dips. It's why you buy gold when the chart looks like this.
Well, yeah, if you look at the chart that Miles has put together, you want to buy during a consolidation phase. You're never going to get the very bottom stroke. But that consolidation channel is what everybody was looking back to 6-8 months ago. Gosh, I wish I'd have bought gold back 2-3 years ago when it was 2,000, 2,300, 2,500. Well, we have that chance, but gold's going to be 4,000, 4,100 in this channel. This is a great time, plus the seasonality like we talked about last week. You know, we're coming out of the weak month, June, July. Come on, this is a very comfortable time to buy. Plus, we're skipping along the 65-week moving average. I just don't think if people are looking to add, I don't think they're going to get hurt.
No, I don't either. And the CPI news, again, it's short-lived. If the tensions remain high and the war continues, we're going to go back on that cycle that we had essentially all of March, April, May, and into June. And that's okay. That will keep downward pressure on the gold price and extend your buying opportunity. You don't sell here. And remember, this is one of the biggest month-over-month declines in headline U.S. inflation ever, ever. So again, that was working in this memorandum of understanding and the excitement of oil coming down and energy prices dropping dramatically.
In the past, you know, when things were blue sky, peace is breaking out all over the world, everybody's happy, those typically have been the doldrums for the price of gold, especially. And here we are with all this uncertainty, with all this turmoil, with all this spending, with all this expansion of the monetary base, and gold is consolidating? That's weird.
Well, is it? You know how much I believe that news moves the markets, right?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, that's been my mantra forever.
Yeah.
News doesn't have anything to do with the markets as much as you guys keep trying to tell people it does. It doesn't. Markets are living, breathing animals, and they're going to do what they do. And just like most people, they get real excited about something. They extend way beyond their means. And then they've got to triage a little bit. So I'm looking at it from an alternative example of like, hey, gold's up, what?
Yeah.
$1,000, $1,200 in a year, you know, like 30%. Silver's up like 60% in a year. I don't really care what the highs were. You know, Rob, you bring up, I love that word about the segment of time that we're in market cycles called a consolidation. You know, you said something a second ago where you were like, yeah, you got people right now going, man, I wish I could go back to the last consolidation when gold was 2,400. And the people buying at 2,400 were saying, man, I wish I could go back to the last consolidation at 1,600. And the people at 1,600 said, oh, I wish I could go back to 2011 when it was 1,200. And you can play that game ad infinitum, right? You can go back forever. I just get back to the consistency of it because let's call a spade. Why do we own gold? We own gold because the government spends more than they make, and they make up the difference by printing additional money, which causes the price of everything to go up over time. Like, I'm sorry, gold hasn't changed price in a million years. It's the exact same price it's always been. An ounce of gold is worth the exact same thing it's always been worth. So if the US dollar is changing price compared to gold, not the other way around, I'm not a buy during consolidation guy. I'm a buy during all the time guy because the government is always printing money. And I can promise you that yesterday's highs in the gold market will be tomorrow's lows. $120 silver will be the low in silver at some
point. That's right.
$5,500 gold will be the low in gold at some point. Case in point, all of us remember $50 silver. All of us remember $2,000 gold 15 years ago. And we would dream for $50 silver right now.
Well,
or $2,000 gold.
We're closer on silver.
So I think it's about consistency.
Yeah.
We're
only about $6 away.
That could happen.
That's the new floor.
Yeah.
But it is.
Well, and that probably will happen. Yeah. Silver probably will.
To Miles'
point. Or if it's going, it's more likely to than gold is.
And then we'll be back at 120. And I totally concur. I mean, that is the repricing. And the paradigm shattering truth is that the cost of living has gotten so incredibly expensive. And yet, housing, cars, stocks have rarely been this cheap. And some of them have never been this cheap. The cost of goods sold when priced in gold, instead of the dollars.
When priced in gold.
So if you're saving in gold instead of sitting in dollars in the bank, which they want you doing, look at the charts.
Good we'll clarification. Pull these in.
I mean, cars have never been cheaper, and yet they've never been more expensive.
Yeah.
But it all depends on the currency.
Yeah,
and that is why you save in gold.
Because when I first bought gold, it would have taken, back in 1973, it would have taken about 20 to 25 ounces to buy a new car. Now you can buy a new car with 5 or 6 ounces. So your point is well made.
Yeah, it's amazing. We like to say that gold maintains its purchasing power. And Miles, you're right. It's worth what it's always been worth. But honestly, it's worth even more. It's gotten better. In most instances.
Better.
And that's with gold at 4,000, not at 5,500.
Exactly.
Trust me, minimize your cash exposure. Your cash is robbing you. And as soon as everybody gets that in their mind, they will trim their bank account positions and sit in gold for the long term, especially cash that has no short-term purpose.
Well, I'll never forget that conversation we had at the Influencers Conference about 6 years ago. One of the principals of a big internet company came up to me and said, okay, you've been pointed out as the gold guy I should talk to. I didn't even have my name on my name tag. I had Ernie Weaver on my name tag because these were not gold people. They were all talking cryptos. And he goes, I just have one question for you, gold man. People who buy gold, are they really weird? And I just started laughing. I mean, you mean weird, like buy gold and get a bomb shelter weird? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, no, not really. To the degree that people have lost faith in the financial system, that will dictate how much percentage they allocate to gold. And he just looked at me because I never thought of it like that. I wish I'd have given him my real name.
Yeah. It's okay, Rob. I was in Vegas with you. I gave him my
name. It's one of Miles' best clients.
Yeah. Yeah. What crypto? He doesn't own any anymore. Yeah.
Well, that's got it for me.
I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good too. So there you go, guys. Keep an eye on the equities market over the next couple of days. We'll keep following the precious metals as the U.S. government tries to figure out what they're going to do with the interest rates coming up, because that's what it all falls onto. So we thank you again for joining us this week at Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head over to our website to learn more. You can find us at McElvaney.com. That's McElvaney.com. We're also on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McElvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.